So good morning, everybody. You call me Anghoai, and sometimes I really feel like a grandfather, in the sense that you are running the whole assembly, and you are doing a wonderful job. And at the same time, I think that the presence of the old-timers, and close to me there are also some old-timers, I think it's important for everybody to see the sense of continuity, where our roots are. Cái đề tài hôm nay là chúng ta đồng hành và CLC Hoa Kỳ gia nhập như thế nào và những cái ích lợi của cái cuộc gia nhập này là một đề tài phong phú, rất là phong phú và có phần nào tế nhị. Cho nên tôi xin dùng một thứ tiếng thôi, bởi vì cũng đã không có giỏi tiếng Anh lắm và cũng chẳng có giỏi tiếng Việt nhiều. Nếu mà lẫn lộn cả hai thứ tiếng thì sợ lung tung rồi. Yên tâm thế là lung tung. So I'm going to stick to English, my poor English, but at least in one language I hope that I can go through this beautiful chapter, beautiful stage of our being here today, our history, where we come from. And for all of us in our families, in our culture, to know better our history allows us to have a deeper sense of identity. Who are we if we know our roots, where we come from? And at the same time, knowing our history helps us to make better proposals, to make more creative proposals for the future, so that we can grow according to our identity, to the graces that we hope they come from God. In the title they have put in the program is God's. What is that? That is God's leading CLC, Đồng hành to CLC. God is always a mystery. We think that it is God who is leading us. We hope. And we hope that we allow the Lord to keep leading us. And then there is a good future for that. If we allow the Lord, the God, to lead us, we have a very, very glorious and sure future. So what are the main stages of our history? Here we have, let's say, a garden, and the trees and the flowers that are growing, and you are part of this garden, are the outcome of many dreams, of many seeds that have been sown into this garden. But I think I am witness to some of the first seeds, some of the first dreams. And we have to honor a person that who is absent here, but is present in our hearts. And it is Peter Tadakkung and his wife Tuyet, Kyu Tuyet. The first dream about that, I think, comes from Kuang, Anh Kuang. And I was in the Philippines. I was vice principal in a high school, so I know something about you. I have been in the school too. And I thought that was my future, to be always a school administrator and teacher. But Peter had a dream, and he wanted young adults, Vietnamese adults. We could say that the youth and the young adult, the yaya. So I think the yaya is at the roots of Đồng Hành. He saw the need of somebody working for the youth and the Vietnamese young adults in the States. And he was somehow encouraged by the Jesuits of Portland, Oregon, to do so. And he approached the provincial, and the provincial told him, write to Rome, and he wrote to Rome, to Father Arrupe, asking for a Jesuit, and I think he suggested that Jesuit to be me, because he knew me personally. I have blessed his wedding. I have been instrumental in his wedding to Tuet, Kyu Tuet, and I think he asked for me. And I said, no hope, no hope. I'm in the Philippines, and there is a lot of need of Jesuits here, and your program is just a dream, just to work with adults and young adults in the whole States and Canada. So it's a dream. But he kept writing. And the advisors of Father Arrupe in Rome said, no way, there is no sense in that proposal. How can a Jesuit go to the United States and Canada and do something? But some advisors told Arrupe, why not? Let them try. One advisor told him, and he once told me in Rome, that I was the only one to support Father Arrupe. All the rest said, there is no hope in that dream. So he contacted my provincial, and finally he sent me with that mission, ministering to youth and young Vietnamese adults in the U.S. and Canada. Ministering to youth and young adults in the United States and Canada. That's it. No money, no need, no. Just go there. Ministering to youth and young adults in Canada. So I had 1 year to prepare. I was in the school fighting with my students in the high school in Manila. But I started thinking, and I think I started dreaming. And I have very clear something I want to share with you. I have very, very clear, though it was vague, it was not very concrete, but I have very clear that if I came to the United States and Canada to work with youth and young adults, I need to have a church lay organization backing me up. Why? For two reasons. First reason, because I'm not smart enough to create something new. I knew that. And I needed somebody who had already worked with lay people, and they have a whole formation program, a whole identity, a whole spirituality. They have already a tradition of working with young people, and they have a way to do it. And the second reason I didn't want, it was very clear for me, and I tell you sincerely, I didn't want something that was mine. I didn't want to do my work and become somehow, maybe because I'm certainly I'm in that sense very selfish and very proud, but I was aware of that. So I didn't want to have something that was my work. I wanted to do the church work. So in the Philippines, during that year, I was looking around what was offered in the church for lay people. And I have two alternatives. I didn't know the Focolare. I didn't know the Notre Dame teams. I knew two lay movements, the Neocatechumenate community and the CLC. CLC, in 1980, was still in the process of becoming a community in the church. It had been renewed some 13 years before, on 67. From the Sodalities of Our Lady, it had become CLC. But in many countries, the only experience we had was the disappearance of the Sodalities and the invisibility of CLC. CLC was not visible. In Spain was not visible. In the Philippines was not visible. So, but I knew, because I was a Sodalist, that CLC was the continuation of the Sodalities. And so therefore it was an Ignatian organization for lay people. But close to that knowledge, I had a neocatechumenal community which was very strong in the Philippines. And I have joined them. I have then done the five catechises and the recollection, and I was really impressed by the neocatechumenate community. And in fact, it has become a very, very strong lay movement in the church. Here in the States, not so much, but in the church, the neocatechumenal community, they have hundreds of thousands of members. It's a very, very strong. It's a new movement in the church. And I mention that because when I came to the States, I chose CLC. I chose CLC because it was Ignatian. I felt that it was not a revelation. I felt that while CLC is Ignatian, I'm a Jesuit, I'm going to give retreats to young people, let's stay home. But I didn't know much about CLC. Now, from the neocatechumenal community, I learned some things that are somehow in the way we live even today, the Daonghang and the CLC. I learned from them the importance of liturgy. We prepared very well the celebrations, the Mass and the reconciliation ceremony. And if you remember the first retreats, we really cherished our celebrations and we have wonderful reconciliation evenings with the lights, the music, the priest hearing the confessions in front of the community, not in the back of the community. And that I learned from them, from the neocatechumenate, not this one. The morning prayer that we used to have, very inspiring morning prayers, I took from them too. In the recollection, I learned from them how to organize a good morning prayer so that really gives the the theme and the first kick to the day. And then in the recollections to celebrate the reconciliation as a community, not to go to a corner to make our confession, but to celebrate reconciliation as a, that is from them. Other things were not assimilated. So my choice, it was, I was still in the Philippines, my choice was that whatever would come out of that ministry to youth and young adults will be backed up by the CLC. So as I came to the United States, as soon as I could, I went to St. Louis. CLC was absent in Portland. There was some, in the tradition of CLC, they had had some leaders there, certain Mr. and Mrs. Brown or something like that, that had been very active in CLC, but they had disappeared. And in Seattle, they were also absent. So I had to go all the way to St. Louis in my little car. When I went to St. Louis, I had the address of the secretariat. At that time, CLC in the United States was very fortunate to have a whole villa for the secretariat. And close to that house, they had a building with rooms for recollection. So they have in Westminster Street, I still remember. Whenever I went to St. Louis, I will stay at the US CLC secretariat. And the general secretary was Mike Splain, who right from the beginning adopted the Vietnamese as his very, very close friends. So we owe a lot to Mike Splain, although he was a poor administrator and he accumulated so many debts that USCLC had to sell the villa and sell the building to pay the debts. And from that time on, poor USCLC, they have some room as a secretariat, but they don't have a basis in the state. They became poor because of good Mike Splain, who was a good man, very charismatic, but a poor administrator. So in any case, they forgave him. The CLC was very gentle to him. They never, but they just, he disappeared. I have not heard about Mike Splain anymore. But we owe a lot to him. What did he offer us? He offered us full welcome to the USCLC. So we were guests to the General Assemblies. in Washington, in Omaha, in Cleveland. And then most important, and that was a real offer and help to Downheim. He organized, together with the U.S. Exco, formation courses for group guides, which we needed. We have groups, but we didn't have a way to run a group. We didn't know how to run a meeting. We didn't know how to run a program, how to make community building. We knew only the retreat. That is what we knew, the Ling Tao. We were very strong at Ling Tao, but we didn't know about groups. So the USCLC started organizing, at that time they were very eager, organizing formation courses for group guides. And two-thirds of the participants came from Downheim. So they were very happy. Instead of having five guys, group guys, they have 15. And 10 were from Downheim. And these group guys are here now. So they were trained, the old-timers were trained by the USCLC on how to run the groups and the communities. And of course, in the formation courses for group guides, we came in contact with the general principles. We came in contact with the documents of the World Assemblies. And we came in contact with a huge and rich amount of documents, formation documents. So that was the experience from 1980 to 1990, for 10 years, and that I was in the States giving retreats and somehow encouraging the formation of Downheim. 1990, I was called to Rome, and it was not a surprise. I knew, whatever came out of that movement should not be built upon myself. So right throughout these 10 years, you were assuming responsibility for the groups. You are becoming prayer companions, but they don't come when. You were helping in the retreats, and you were assuming more and more responsibility. Yet, when I went to Rome, the whole organization went into a crisis. Because my successor was Holy Gildo Dominici, who is in heaven now. And certainly he's blessing us here. And Gildo Dominici was a Focolari, was not a CLC member. He loved Focolari. And Focolari is another movement which I didn't know when I was in Manila. I knew only the Neocatechumenate. But he was a Focolari. And somehow he was giving the retreats but speaking the Focolari style. It didn't catch up. It didn't catch up. So for 2 years he was the ecclesiastical assistant of Downheim. And after 2 years, he left his place to Dominic Hung. Where are you, Hung? So he left his place to Dominic Hung, who was in Seattle. Now, Dominic Hung, he's a holy man and very bright. I think he's a doctor now. He didn't have any particular affiliation. He was not CLC, he was not Focolari, he's just a Jesuit, and he's himself a man of God. He's a very good man. So when he assumed the responsibility of Downheim, he was very open. He was very open. And during his term as ecclesiastical assistant, the whole organization went into a crisis, which is good. Because it was a little bit my dream, it was built upon me, I was out, so they went into a crisis. It took 3 years to formulate the crisis. And the crisis this morning, how was, where are you, and how? How was remembering together with Baudien, his beloved wife, where are you, Baudien? They were remembering that crisis of 1993, when Chatheim was absent and the Downheim were there in Montebello for a national assembly. And the crisis was formulated like that. There was the Phong Trào, Linh Thao, the movement, the retreat movement, and then there was Đồng Hành, the community Đồng Hành. Now, those who were organizing the retreats were a very active group, a very committed group, but few of them belonged to Đồng Hành. And those who, 100 persons who have made a commitment in Đồng Hành, little bit my Đồng Hành, they were not very active in the retreats. So there was a crisis between the two. Say, you are Đồng Hành, but what are you doing for all of us? And then Linh Thao said, we are doing everything for Đồng Hành. And they went into a crisis. And somehow there was Peter Kuang, who was a little bit more protagonist. Not in moral, but in his style, it was his movement. It was his Đồng Hành. And somehow went into crisis. And this morning, Hao remind me of the insight he had from the Lord. He said, we should erase the blackboard and start again. Xóa bảng, lặp lại. Xóa bảng, lặp lại. We have to start again. And Peter Kuang felt very threatened by that. That was Dao Chang, that was a coup d'etat. So it was a revolution. But it was needed to close a stage and open a new one. It was needed to close Father Tang's dream and Peter Kuang, who had the first dream. We have to close that, and it had to become your dream. You own it. That was very, very important. In this moment, we could feel the presence of the Lord. It was very, very charismatic. It was because the struggle was painful. We love Peter Kuang. We love his wife. And they were suffering deeply, deeply. And we didn't want to make them suffer, but it was like giving birth to a baby. I don't know how to give birth, but some of you know what is that. It's painful. It's painful to give birth, but you have to accept it so that the baby comes out. So it was like giving birth to the Đồng Hành. Any case, the Lord came, and Hao and Bao Dien, they were listening. They saw bang, they erased everything, and they started anew. And then that was your choice to be Đồng Hành. And that was on 93. So then the years went by, and by the year 98, I was in Rome, you were ready to be incorporated. And the idea was to be incorporated straight into the world community as a national community, not a geographical, but cultural national community. The Vietnamese CLC as part of the world CLC. At that time there were maybe 60 national communities, so we will be number 61. Not a geographical national community, but a cultural one. The EXCO at that time in Rome, I was the vice assistant, and I was not pushing. The ESCO said, no problem, but it takes time. It takes at least 5 years to incorporate the community. You have to be a witness, an observer, a candidate, and then you are approved. And meanwhile, I was not vice assistant anymore, and then a new vice assistant came, and the new vice assistant said, no, it cannot be. You cannot have a member of the world community that is not a geographical national community. You cannot have that. So, on 2001, the Central Secretariat and the EXCO said, no. You knock at the door of the US CLC, and they will welcome you, because they have contacted the US CLC, and they were ready to welcome us. You contact them and you come into CLC as member of the US CLC. Although Đồng Hành is not only US, it is also Canada. And if in the future, in Germany or in England or in France, they become Naumheim, they will be part of Naumheim, and still the USCLC welcomes Naumheim with its own structures and its own leadership, which is wonderful. It was wonderful. So from 2001 to 2004, the approach was to the USCLC. And on 2004, I think it was in Miami, we were welcome and we celebrated the incorporation. And I had the great, great joy of being present at that event. And that is where we are. So the Naumheim is member of the USCLC, retaining its structure, its leadership, and the USCLC is very happy and then encouraged very much to have the riches of our organization as part of the USCLC, which will be also realized or encouraged by the Korean or the Filipino or other minorities in the United States. Now, the question you ask me and you are still asking, and that is, the roots are very important, but the question you are asking is, what are the advantages of incorporation? How does belonging to the USCLC help me and my group? Okay, well, this is good, and then here are some holy men and women that say we have to be part of the church, and then we are backed up by the church, and it's very true. But many of you are very specific and say, "What? How does it help me on my real, on my ordinary life?" Now, I will share with you a little my experience in CLC and my experience in some countries with CLC. Being incorporated to CLC helps us in some strong positive ways, and at the same time we have to be aware of some weak points, some whitium, but still are present in CLC, World CLC. CLC is not the Neocatechumenate, CLC is not the Focolarini, CLC is a very specific lay, this association of the faithful of pontifical right, public association of the faithful of pontifical right, yeah. And there are only two in the whole church, CLC and Sant'Egidio. And Sant'Egidio is a public association of the faithful of pontifical right because there are some big cardinals who love them and they have good sponsors. They are very good. They are very good. But they are limited. They are not in the whole world. And actually, in the United States, are invisible. The Sant'Egidio are invisible. And the second are we. That is all right. But in real life, what are the strong points of CLC? Now, in your experience and in my experience, I think we have to thank the Lord that CLC puts us in contact with excellent people. The people are the most precious gift that CLC brings to us. And I think that is the experience of you young ones and the middle age and those older here. When you have come to the assembly, you have met new friends and they are lovely, lovely, aren't they? They're excellent. Even if sometimes they scold you because you stay too late at night or you get up too early in the morning or you mess up things a little bit. But all in all, your parents and all us, we know that you are good people, excellent people. And it's a privilege to know each other. From Dallas, from Wichita, from Houston, to know each other is a privilege. And the same is for us, the older folks. To know each other is a great, great gift. And this is only in Naumheim. But if you meet the USCLC, you will come in contact with excellent people. And some of them are here, and they are our friends. Excellent. But if you, if one day you come in contact with the Italian CLC and the Spanish CLC and the Egyptian CLC and the African CLC, you will see what excellent people are there in our community. And this is a riches that opens up our life beyond the limits of the group. We are very much group-minded. That will be the weakness. I have my group, I have my friends, we love each other and we help each other. Yeah, but why not to open up the horizon and come in contact with other cultures, with other people? That helps a lot to know how the Lord is present in this world everywhere. Some of my best friends, and I appreciate more, are from Lubumbashi in the Republic of Congo. They are excellent people. Excellent. And they are black, 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 black. Black, black, black. Handsome. Handsomely black. And they are veterinarians, or they are doctors, and they teach at the university. And at the same time, because they are so good and so honest, they are very poor. So they have to build their own houses. So this veterinarian knows how to make bricks. And they have lived under a tent, and the wife, who is the secretary of the university, was carrying the water from the fountain because they accepted to be poor because they were honest. Yeah. So the best gift are the people. And you are the best gift to each other. So that is the best thing. And that is beyond all the documents and beyond all the crisis and all that. So when we come in contact with CLC, we are blessed by friendship with excellent people. And we wish more people will attend the Hopmatvung, because each time you attend the regional meeting, you come back enriched, aren't you? And when you come to the assembly, you go back enriched. And those who are home say, how is it? Wonderful, but you cannot share all the riches of the assembly. So it is a very good thing that we are not closed into a group, but we are open up to a community. Now, other things that CLC brings to us, a formation program, a formation roadmap, a formation for personal growth, for group growth, for apostolic growth. So when you come into CLC and you attend a formation program on the level of group guides, or on the level of family renewal, or on the level of training for light works, the formation programs in CLC really are a gift. And they are very, very rich. The formation programs are very rich. They offer us goals, means. They offer us roles in the community. What are the roles and how to train them? The general principles of CLC, in my knowledge, are a gift from the Lord through many generations of CLC. That they are amazing. The general principles are a document you can use for prayer anytime. They are so rich, they are so Ignatian, they are so Christian, because it starts with the whole Trinity, very incarnate. They are very Ignatian, they are very lay. They have a very positive and rich view on the world that is being created by the Lord. And we are invited to cooperate with the Lord in building the new heavens and the new earth. The general principles are amazing, and they are the outcome of many, many dreams and many many proposals from many countries. So when you come to CLC, you have formation programs, formation documents, and beside the general principles, there are many others. The charism, the growth of a community, there are many documents. And actually, when I went back to Vietnam 6 years ago, they invited me to offer some formation courses. And I put together, in Vietnamese, they're all translated, a booklet like that. and they have there very rich documents on formation for CLC. A very famous contribution of CLC are the three pillars of a layperson. In Vietnamese, we always spoke the Kien Bachan. Kien Bachan, it impressed you from the beginning in the formation courses of CLC. How to build a personal contact with God, very, very important, so that you have a personal contact with God and God can lead you through life. Second one, how to grow up in the community, community building, so that the community is not only a group of friends, but becomes an apostolic community. And third, how to develop a mission, that we are not only do things, but we are sent by the Lord on a mission. And this Kien Bachan, the three pillars of our spirituality, are also a very, very rich view on our vocation. Some weak points. There are some weak points, and there are some, let's say, dangers in CLC. And I worried, and I think by having been in many countries, and I am aware of it, and I am very much of a dreamer. So by dreaming a lot, sometimes I shake my head and said, I wish we could continue developing the charism that the Lord has given us. So in the weak points of CLC, that somehow are present in Dong Hai, and somehow Dong Hai has avoided until now, and we hope that he'll continue avoiding them. That is a first observation, that we have to be merciful to each other. We have to be merciful to ourselves, that there is always an unavoidable discrepancy between the documents and real life. We have to agree that the general principles are an ideal. And an ideal is always unrealizable. You cannot put it into practice. An ideal is always beyond the reality. But it inspires your journey. So by the fact that we are far away from from living out the general principles, we should not be discouraged. We should be rather inspired on how to guide our decisions and our proposals so that we are guided by our ideal. So that is for every proposal, family, personal, professional. When you have an ideal, be sure that you will never put it into practice, but will inspire you to grow always. So we have to be merciful to our group, to our organization, and to the US CLC. However, more specifically, a great danger of CLC in the States, in Italy. I have been 17 years in Rome, and I have always accompanied 3-4 groups. The great danger of CLC is the narrow-minded group mentality. A group narrow-minded mentality. The groups in CLC are very close-knit together. We are good friends to each other. And after 5, 7, 10 years of Dong Hai going together, we are like a second family. And the danger is that we close up. Many of our friends who are absent in this General Assembly. Now, why are they absent? We remember them. We love them. They are never absent to the group meetings. They are always present in the group meetings. They are always present in the group activities. And they go on pilgrimage. They go on vacation together, all that. The group is very, very strong in CLC. But very often the community is weak. The group attendance is almost perfect. There are always some who are always busy and they don't come to the group meeting. But The group attendance usually is very good. Community attendance. Group cooperation in any group initiative, very good. Community cooperation. So, and that is why you ask me the two questions. How does CLC group me and my, help me and my group? That is the question you address, you ask. Because we are very group-centered, very group-centered. Unlike the Neocatechumenate, unlike the Focolarini, the strong movements in the church are very communitarian, very communal. But CLC, because it has a strong group, and somehow, in the renewal of the sodalities of Our Lady, there was in the DNA, in the first renewal, it was the small group. Somehow, against the group, the mass movement, there were 80,000 groups in the sodalities of Our Lady at the time of the renewal. 80,000. When the sodalities gathered in Rome, they could fill up St. Peter Square. In St. Louis, in the time of Father Lord, I think there were 10,000 members of the sodality, 8,000. In New York, the CLC had, I mean, they will know, the U.S. they will know. It was a huge movement, the sodalities. In Spain, they could have easily 30,000 members of the sodalities. So the sodalities was a mass movement. We have communities for everybody, and there was no group. It was the sodality. And the sodality activity needed a big room like that. And Father Director was a father, a Jesuit, will train them. And then the president will help him. But it was a mass movement. And somehow in the renewal, and it started, somehow the renewal started in Cleveland, in Germany, and in France, and in Canada. It was the small community. And they made, they become Ignatian, they will make directed retreats. And so somehow in the renewal, there was a reaction against the mass movement and insisting in the importance of the small group as a unit in which people could grow and become real Ignatian. And there was somehow in the theology of that time of the small remnant of Israel that Christianity maybe was not for the masses, it was for people, very committed people. And to be small was not bad. It was good to be small, provided it was authentic. So somehow, the small group is not only a fact today, but somehow in the DNA of the renewal, there is an acceptance that small is beautiful. And a little afraid of big groups and big masses. So we have to be aware of that. That the first danger in CLC is that it's a very group-centered organization, and in many areas, in many cities, the group fulfills the expectations of the member. And the community becomes optional. And, watch out if that is not, it's less in Downheim. We are more a community, but still the danger, I think, is present in many of us, and we should be aware of it. The second danger we have to be aware, is the lack of formation courses. The strong point of CLC is formation. But when was the last formation course you had in your city? When was the last group guides formation course that we had? Now, we have, in some areas, we have formation courses, and these areas are very lively. But if we look at Seattle, if we could look at Portland, if we look at San Jose, if we look at many, when was the last formation course we had there? So the formation courses become sporadic, and some become the long CLC, the long Ignatian retreats, 5 and 8 days retreat. So, and it happens in all the, it happens in my communities in Italy, The group is strong, but when you ask in the group, when was the last time you did an 8-day retreat, they say, well, yeah, 6 years ago. But this year I cannot. They are very busy. People are very busy. So the retreat become sporadic, and formation courses become even more sporadic. So that tends to make the group shrink and somehow lose the riches of the charism of CLC. And they become somehow a prayer group, a friend, a group of friends, more or less committed. So this is something that we have to be aware of. And the areas that have more lively communities are areas in which there are different ways of formation, very often on the occasion of the apostolic programs they have. But if they don't have apostolic programs and they don't have formation courses, the areas become poorer and poorer in their identity. And that is a problem in many countries. And that brings us another element, the lack of growth. So the groups, the city communities, the community in a city, in an area, when the community was founded, they could be very numerous. But as the years go by, the community shrinks and shrinks and shrinks. And sometimes only 8 or 10 are left. It happens in Italy, it is happening in Spain, it's happening in many countries. So there is a time of kind of springtime of the groups, and they little they fall into fall, and then they into winter, and they become smaller and smaller. And this we can see in the Downhang. We are not completely immune to that program. And I know that yesterday one of the workshops that was very attended was on how to bring new life to the group and how to bring new life to the community. You have to be aware of that. And the last element I want to share with you is a delicate element. One of the reasons why there is a lack of growth and somehow there is a tendency in some CLC national communities and maybe in Downhang in some areas of lack of apostolic programs is because somehow the Society of Jesus is not present enough in CLC. The roots of CLC are the sodalities, and somehow the Society of Jesus own the sodalities. And the general, Father General of the Society of Jesus was the one responsible for the sodalities, and he's the one who incorporated. After 1969's renewal, on 1970, Father Arrupe offered his resignation as responsible for the sodalities of Our Lady. And the responsibility went to the EXCO, to the Executive Council, the World EXCO, and they are responsible for CLC. But unfortunately, in my view, that growth of CLC into autonomy and adulthood is interpreted by many Jesuits as a lack of interest for CLC. If you are not ours, we are not interested in you anymore. And that is unfortunate, because the fact that CLC is mature should not prevent us to work together. And the Society of Jesus is very dynamic. We have become smaller, but we have a lot of apostolates. And the Society of Jesus, in their creativity, apostolic creativity, they need lay people. And what is happening in many provinces, in the absence of CLC, in the Society of Jesus, the Society of Jesus is founding lay associations. Jesuit associates, Jesuit associates. But they don't have the riches of CLC. So somehow the society needs lay people, and they work with lay people, and they work with people. But in the absence of CLC, they create movements, and that splits. So the lay people of Oregon province, or the lay people of Milano, or the lay people of Rome, are not working with the lay people in Spain or in, because they are a very local lay organization. And at the same time, the CLC somehow is on its own. And in the church, the big movement, lay movement, they always have some institutional backup from the church that allows them to grow up. So that is a point that is very delicate, is beyond your responsibilities, too big, because it's the Society of Jesus of CLC. But I want to share with you, especially because somehow you are sponsoring the CLC in Vietnam. And in Vietnam, we have a very particular situation. We have a Jesuit province in the process of growing. In the last 10 years, we have more than doubled from 50, 60 Jesuits in Vietnam. Now we are 170 and growing, and keep growing. In the next 10 years, we are going to be close to 300. And all these young Jesuits, they are working with lay people. There is CLC in Vietnam. But many Jesuits are founding their own group besides the CLC. And the challenge will be if we could in Vietnam, and you could sponsor a common commitment from the Jesuits and from C to work together, respecting the autonomy and maturity of CLC, but to plan things together and work together. And one day, if you are interested, you should watch out the experience of the province of Chile in South America, where the whole province opted for CLC. And they opted for CLC in 1971. And the province of Chile is enjoying so much results from that decision, because it's a very youthful, very strong province because of the presence of lay people into the apostolate and also into the vocation and renewal of the province. So that will be a challenge also for CLC to consider, especially the more mature members, on how we can be open to a close relationship with the Society of Jesus that will allow us to be more effective at the service of the kingdom and will help us develop this apostolic charismatic community that we hope we are and we are becoming. Yeah. I end up with two questions. Yeah, I mean, a problem with old people, we like to talk. Two questions for your reflection. First, what is the most precious gift that CLC has brought to Đồng Hành? What is the most precious gift? In Vietnamese, gia tài quý báu nhất của Đồng Hành, của CLC mang đến Đồng Hành. Gia tài, cái gia tài is like a, like inheritance from the family. The most precious gift CLC has brought to Đồng Hành. And the second question, what are the dangers we should avoid? Những cạm bẫy mà chúng ta nên tránh. Cảm ơn tất cả chị em.
Con cảm ơn cha rất là nhiều. Một bài keynote very, very rich. It will take us the whole year to unpack it. Okay, những cái câu hỏi